Rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illallah. Allahu ya Allah wallahu akbar.
I would like to remind the honorable pilgrims that throughout the journey of Mecca and Medina, they should not be lax in familiarizing with the Holy Quran, this divine scripture and book of guidance. It is because whatever the Muslims have had so far and will have in the future comes from the blessings of this sacred scripture. By the same token, I request all the distinguished ulama, the children of the Quran, and the eminent scholars not to be negligent of this sacred book, which is the exposition of all things, and which shines forth from the station of divine union to the heart of the first light and the manifestation of the perfect union.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. You're listening to Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. Well, in this program, what we do is to read some of the valuable speeches and words of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh and explain about their interpretations. We hope that in that way, we as lovers of this great character would come to a deeper understanding of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh and his thoughts and ideologies. Well, there is a speech from Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh about the religion of Islam in which he says that Islam has come for mankind, not for Muslims or Iranians only. The prophets are assigned to men, and so was the prophet of Islam. Well, this sentence is a good answer to one of the most controversial topics of today's world. You know that recently there has been a great debate that every religion should be followed in its original geographical place, and there is no need for other people or lands or languages to follow that religion. There are some groups of people who claim that Islam belongs to Arab countries because of the language of Quran is in Arabic. And unfortunately, such a view comes from the racial and dogmatic thoughts. And that is why Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh emphasized on the globality of Islam with no trace of dogmatism. He, as a non-Arab Muslim, encourages every person in the world to accept Islam, and no matter what their language or nationality be. And this way of looking at a religion is quite noble and praiseworthy. His statement is in line with the Quranic verse, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. Blessed is he who sends down the criterion to his servant, that he may be a warner to all the nations. Surah Al-Furqan, verse number 1. Well, in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the universality of Islam to be followed by the whole world. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh is referring to the mission of the prophets of any religion, and that mission is to inform people about God, heaven, and hell. Well, that is what we talked about in this episode. We talked about the globality of Islam from Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi's point of view. Let's recite his sentence about the subject of religion of Islam. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said that Islam has come for mankind, not for Muslims or Iranians only. The prophets are assigned to men, and so was the prophet of Islam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Every night and every night and every day. Never forget to say La ilaha illa
The Limelight.
Some 30 million people across the U.S. are seeing a portion of their federal food assistance taken away. Some households could lose hundreds of dollars each month, even as families continue to face increased food prices, and analysts warn the cuts will bring millions to a hunger cliff. In this regard, we have taken a look at World Media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to Truthout, March 1st, that is Wednesday, around 30 million people across the United States will have their families' food assistance slashed, despite high prices and experts warning about a hunger cliff. Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, benefits were initially increased at the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, although Republicans in 18 states had already ended the emergency allotments, households in other 32 states, along with Washington, D.C., Guam, and the U.S. Virgin Islands, have continued to receive them. However, the increased SNAP benefits are set to end because of omnibus spending package from December. Federal lawmakers traded the temporary pandemic-era boost for a permanent program to feed children in the summer. We're really going to struggle, Dina Hardy, a mother of two, in Marshfield, Wisconsin, told ABC News, adding, "We are going to have to end up going back to cheaper items like noodles and processed stuff because the meat, the dairy, fruits, and veggies, it's expensive. I don't think the cuts could have happened at a worse time," added Hardy, whose family relies on a fixed income and will see their benefits drop from $960 to $200 per month. When the extra payments began, food prices were nowhere near where they are now. As Tracy Roof, an associate professor of political science at the University of Richmond, recently wrote for The Conversation, many advocates for a stronger safety net say SNAP benefits are too low to meet the needs of low-income people. They are warning of a looming hunger cliff, meaning a sharp increase in the number of people who don't get enough nutritious food to eat in March 2023 when the extra help ends. At that point, the lowest income families will lose $95 in benefits a month. But some SNAP participants, such as many elderly and disabled people who live alone and on fixed incomes and who only qualify for the minimum amount of help, will see their benefits plummet from $281 to $23 a month. A trio of Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, CBPP experts, pointed out earlier this month that a study estimated that EAs kept 4.2 million people above the poverty line in the past quarter of 2021, reducing poverty by 10% and child poverty by 14% in states with EAs at the time. the estimated reduction in poverty rates due to EAs was the highest for Black and Latino people. According to Axios, CBPP President Sharon Parrott warned the cuts will allow very high levels of poverty to remain in the country, noting the outlet's report. Public Citizen President Robert Weisman declared that a decent society would not let this happen, expanded the SNAP benefits and will push 32 million Americans off a hunger cliff. The looming cuts are a reminder that poverty is a policy choice in this country. Elizabeth Lower Bosch, Deputy Executive Director for the Center for Law and Social Policy, told Axios, "For a while, we decided we were going to make a different policy choice." Congressional Progressive Caucus, Pramila Jayapal, agreed and demanded action by federal lawmakers. "Tomorrow, SNAP benefits will drop back to pre-pandemic levels," she tweeted, adding, "That means $171 less each month for 520,000 Washington families struggling to make ends meet. Ending these increased benefits will cause more food insecurity and poverty." Jayapal added, "It's unacceptable. Poverty and hunger are policy choices. It's time we step up and do more." According to Guardian, the number of U.S. children in food poverty nearly doubles in a year to 4 million. The number of these children in food poverty has nearly doubled in the last year to almost 4 million, new data shows, ramping up pressure on the government to expand the provision of free school meals to struggling families. According to the Food Foundation think tank, 1 in 5, about 22% of households, reported skipping meals, going hungry or not eating for a whole day in January, up from 12% at the equivalent point in 2022.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio.
Thank you. This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle.
Today's lesson, Levels of Loving Allah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of the levels of loving Allah in order to gain the spiritual welfaring. In the Islamic lifestyle, if we want to have the spiritual welfaring or we want to do the journey of perfection in order to reach the perfection, it is necessary to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are some levels. The first level, we said it was being alone with the friend, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the second level, which we're going to talk today about, is the excitement to visit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or this excitement to visit or to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it should be in the hearts of the mu'mineen, in the hearts of the believers. And when they have this excitement to see their Lord, they will never see anything which is considered as gunah or which is considered as the sin. They will never see anything. They do not like to see anything that is considered as the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, they close their eyes whenever there is a sin. They close their eyes on bad deeds. They close their eyes for the unwanted wishes or this material world, and they do not get involved in the things that are being provided by this material, because this material world will remain here. This will be vanished. The only thing which will remain is the good deeds and actions that are being performed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, one of the characteristics or the levels of the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that they're excited. They have this excitement to visit and see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of the levels of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we were talking about the exciting to visit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this excitement that the Urafa have, the saints have, they have this excitement in them. And when they are performing deeds for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are also excited to see Him. Now the question is that, can we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Someone has asked from Imam Ali alayhi salam that, have you seen the God who you worship? And Imam has said that, I do not worship someone who I do not see. And they said that, have you seen Him with your two eyes? And Imam Ali has replied, woe on you. He is not someone who can be seen with these material eyes. Rather, you need to see Him with your heart. You need to see Him from inside. You need to feel Him from inside. And this seeing means that you need to believe that He is the creator of all. He is the creator of all. He has created everyone. And therefore, when you worship Him, it means that you believe in Him. And the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means that you see Allah's manifestation everywhere. In all things, you see, when you see a beauty, you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this beauty is being made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you see anything in the world that you related with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you see some goodness, you're related with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see the beauty, we see the justice, we see the good things in the world. Why? Because it has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the skies, the universe, the galaxies, everything that we see, this has been made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it shows the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from inside we feel Him and we see Him. Not with these two eyes that we have. Inshallah, may Allah give us the tawfiq to become the true lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
The Israeli regime is stepping up its violent and racist policies against Palestinians. On Thursday, a young Palestinian man succumbed to his injuries that he recently sustained during an Israeli raid on the occupied West Bank city of Jericho, also known as Ariha. 22-year-old Mahmoud Jamal Hamdan was critically wounded during an Israeli attack on a refugee camp. On Wednesday, Israeli troops stormed the Aqaba Jab refugee camp following a shooting attack on a highway outside of Jericho that left one Israeli soldier dead. During the raid, the regime's forces sealed off the camp and prevented ambulances and journalists from entering it. They also fatally wounded Hamdan, whom they accused of being involved in the attack. Regime atrocities come against the backdrop of increasing settler violence against Palestinians. On Sunday night, hundreds of armed Israeli settlers, flanked by soldiers, attacked Palestinian villages near the West Bank town of Huwara and set fire to homes, storefronts, and cars.
I was here yesterday when the incident occurred. I didn't know how to escape, as they closed immediately all roads and exits. So I was obliged to stay here. I locked the door, and after that the settlers came to burn things. They set fire to all the wood I had, the car, and they burnt the area.
At least one Palestinian was killed and nearly 400 were wounded in the hours-long rampage, which was denounced by Israeli rights group Peace Now and B'Tselem as a settler pogrom supported by the occupying regime. Palestinian officials have called on the U.S. Security Council to ensure protection for Palestinians who have increasingly come under deadly attacks by Israeli forces and settlers.
What we have seen here in this house is evidence of how big the crime carried out by the settlers and covered by army and protected by the army is. It is clear that this move is supported by a political decision from the Israeli cabinet. Therefore, three sides are partners in this crime. The cabinet, which takes the political decision, the army, which is protecting the settlers, and the settlers who are implementing. This is what we have seen here.
The Arab League has also said that it fully holds the far-right Israeli administration led by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu responsible for the systematic crimes committed by extremist settlers. After they went on a violent rampage in the West Bank, Israeli forces have killed nearly 70 Palestinians since the beginning of this year. On Tuesday, the Israeli Knesset approved a bill authorizing the execution of Palestinian detainees, conduct anti-occupation operations. Hamas resistance movement has strongly condemned the bill, noting that the move reflects the regime's, quote, fascist tendencies. Hamas has stressed that such policies and laws will not deter the Palestinian people from continuing their legitimate resistance against the Israeli occupation. Furthermore, on Wednesday, Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich, who is an ultra-nationalist in Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's extremist coalition, said that the Palestinian village of Huwara should be wiped out.
All over Israel, here in Tel Aviv and elsewhere, we are protesting against the horrific pogrom committed by the extremist settlers in the West Bank yesterday. They came because they have the support of the government. They have the support of high-ranking Kahanist ministers serving in the government, and they are deepening the occupation, deepening the bloodshed.
So we are here tonight to demonstrate after the settlers in Huwara attacked and burned the village and the people who live in Huwara, the Palestinian people. And we are here to demonstrate to stop the occupation.
Even the U.S. administration, which is Tel Aviv's staunch ally, has called the remarks repugnant. Attacks against Palestinians have escalated since late December 2022, when Benjamin Netanyahu returned to power as prime minister of the occupying regime's most far-right cabinet ever. Netanyahu is now under mounting pressure. Streets across the occupied territories have witnessed mass protests since Netanyahu's controversial move to reform the judiciary. Opponents argue that the legal changes threaten the independence of judges and weaken oversight of the ruling cabinet and parliament. They say the plan will undermine the rights of minorities and would open the door to more corruption. But Netanyahu, who is on trial for corruption, says the changes will boost business. There are now threats that his coalition cabinet will break up due to internal differences and mass protests.
A year has passed since the ongoing war in Ukraine broke out. Prospects for an end to the war look bleak. Instead of supporting dialogue and a peaceful resolution, the West, particularly the US, have fanned the flames of war by sending billions of dollars in arms to Ukraine. This trend has only further escalated the conflict. Last week, Beijing called for a comprehensive ceasefire as it released a peace plan to end the war in Ukraine. The document, which covers 12 aspects, adheres to the principle of respecting the sovereignty of both countries. It calls for resuming peace talks and promotes the post-conflict reconstruction in the long run. Beijing also demanded an end to unilateral sanctions on Russia and criticized NATO expansion, saying the US and NATO are fanning the flames and adding fuel to the fire, and they are the culprit and pusher of the crisis. China also made clear its opposition to not only the use of nuclear weapons, but the threat of deploying them, saying nuclear weapons must not be used and nuclear wars must not be fought. In addition, China also called for efforts to set up humanitarian corridors for the evacuation of civilians from conflict zones, to protect civilians and prisoners of war, and to facilitate grain exports. China has sought to position itself as a neutral party in the conflict and play the role of a mediator. Meanwhile, Russia said it has paid a lot of attention to the plan by China, but the conditions for a peaceful resolution of the conflict were not in place. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said, "For now, we don't see any of the conditions that are needed to bring this whole story towards peace." Moscow had said that any settlement of the conflict needed to recognize Russia's control over four Ukrainian regions it annexed last year. It also wants Ukraine to renounce its bid to join NATO. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said his country needed to work with China, arguing it seems that there is a respect for Ukraine's territorial integrity and security issues in the Chinese perspective. However, Kyiv said that it will not agree to any peace without the return of all its territory. The publication of the proposal follows accusations from the West that China is considering arming Russia, a claim Beijing has dismissed as false information. Ukraine's head of military intelligence has brushed aside claims that China is considering sending arms to Russia. Kirill Budanov told US media that he saw no signs that such things are even being discussed. That's after senior US officials said that they were confident China was considering providing lethal equipment to Moscow. Earlier this month, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken aired Washington's concerns about potential arms shipments in a tense meeting with his Chinese counterpart. Also, the director of the CIA, William Burns, said in an interview on Sunday that he believed Beijing was still weighing the possibility. Asked specifically about the U.S. assessment, Budenov said, "I am the head of intelligence and I rely, with all due respect, not on the opinions of individual people, but only on facts. I do not see such facts." China says it has kept contact with all sides in the crisis, including Kyiv, and its position was clear. The core is to call for peace and promote dialogue and promote a political solution to the crisis. China has warned that the war in Ukraine is getting out of control. Beijing has urged certain countries to stop adding fuel to the fire, saying it's deeply concerned about the situation. Beijing rejected the US and NATO claims as false and said it is the US that is endlessly sending arms to Ukraine, not China. The US and NATO have been warning China against sending weapons to Russia, while they have been providing Ukraine with billions of dollars in arms and military aid since the beginning of the war a year ago.
The US desire to dominate the world by poking its nose into other countries' affairs, especially when things are not in its favor, is not hidden anymore. In the latest example, Russia has come out accusing Washington of attempting to disrupt its relations with nations on the African continent. Russia's Deputy Foreign Minister Mikhail Bogdanov said the United States and its allies are conducting an unprecedented campaign for Russia's political and economic isolation, including the disruption of the second Russia-Africa summit in St. Petersburg scheduled for July. Bogdanov said Western countries embarked on their collective campaign to isolate Russia in the international arena ever since the beginning of this special military operation in Ukraine. He noted that the West, in order to achieve its anti-Russia agenda, has significantly piled up pressure on African countries through threats of imposing sanctions, termination of financial and humanitarian aid. Bogdanov's assessment came more than a month after Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov visited South Africa as part of his African tour. During Lavrov's visit to Pretoria, which was the second since last year, the two sides pledged to boost bilateral ties. In a joint presser, top South African diplomat Naledi Pandor even lauded the growing economic partnership between the two countries, along with political, economic, social, defense, and security cooperation. Lavrov's successful visit to the continent and planned Russia-Africa summit and economic forum in July are testimonies that West, the U.S. in particular, have failed in their plots to isolate Russia internationally. The visit by the Russian diplomat to South Africa refurbished the common pursuit of the two countries for upholding world peace and security and promoting global development and prosperity. With South Africa hosting the Summit of Five Emerging Economies, commonly known as BRICS, this year, the ruling African National Congress has suggested that Pretoria could use the chairmanship to push for the admission of new members to expand the bloc and challenge a global arrogance. In the words of Pandor herself, "The current global geopolitical tensions clearly signal the need to create institutional mechanisms that will have the stature from the global trust to promote and support global peace and security. BRICS should play a proactive role in emerging processes and ensure it is part of a redesigned global order." Recent joint naval drills involving South Africa, Russia, and China, despite U.S. criticism, show these countries' resolve to stand against the global dominance of some powers. Pandor argued that hosting such maneuvers with what she called friends were part of the natural course of relations. Nevertheless, the popular resentment against the West, the U.S., the U.K., and France in particular, are on the rise due to their historic oppression on the continent. Anti-West sentiment could be clearly seen in nationwide protests in Burkina Faso, with demonstrators condemning former colonizer France while waving Russian flags. Growing dissatisfaction with France is largely visible in other former colonies across Africa, including Mali. At this moment, the unity is an anti-colonial power structure seemed to be of high urgency for African nations. A change from unipolar to multipolar arrangement is another need, especially for East African countries that are embroiled in power politics. These could uplift not only the continental stature, but a unified power to reckon with. However, this major paradigm shift can be duly achievable if countries across the African continent come together and stand firm against the West imperialism. Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps has announced the operation of a new cruise missile with a range of over 1,600 kilometers. Speaking at a televised program, commander of the IRGC Aerospace Division, Brigadier General Amirali Hajizadeh, said the new long-range missile is codenamed Pave. The commander said this was to honor the Iranian forces martyred in the Khorasan province. The Brigadier General noted that all of Iran's missiles are now manufactured with precision-guided accuracy, adding that all American bases in the region are within the reach of the Iranian missiles. Hajizadeh said, "We are now capable of targeting American aircraft carriers at a 2,000-kilometer distance." He noted that the U.S.'s superiority has been shaking after Iran developed its new hypersonic missile, which can maneuver outside the Earth's atmosphere and defeat all anti-missile defense systems. In a stern warning also to Europe, the Iranian commander said, "Of course, we have kept the distance at 2,000 kilometers out of respect for the Europeans," adding, "We hope that Europeans would preserve their dignity." The remarks by the Iranian commander came at a time when Europe has done its share of trying to antagonize Iran by closely aligning its Tehran policies with those of the U.S. After all, the European countries, namely France, Germany, and the U.K., have been maintaining a hostile posture toward Iran's defensive missile and peaceful nuclear programs. The EU has also challenged Tehran's regional influence and cooperated with Washington in its anti-Iran sanctions. Needless to say that last month, the European Parliament approved an amendment calling on the European Union and its member states to include the IRGC on their terror list. The resolution drew strong reaction from Iran. IRGC's chief commander, Major General Hossein Salami, warned that the Europeans would suffer the consequences of the move. The 27-nation bloc has also been slapping more sanctions on Iran over what it calls the country's approach toward foreign-backed riots that erupted in some Iranian cities in September. The recent IRGC announcement comes as the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has called on the country's military to increase its efforts to attract, nurture, and train capable Iranians in line with the Islamic Revolution military doctrine. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei has called on the IRGC to use its full capabilities to be able to protect the revolution and to strengthen the IRGC's spiritual and military foundations. This can be clearly highlighted in General Hajizadeh's comments when he addressed the issue of Iran's growing missile power. He has enumerated features of the country's hypersonic missile that was manufactured late last year and announced a new cruise missile's inclusion in the list of IRGC's military hardware. This brings to the spotlight the military might of the Islamic Republic, which includes capabilities of Iran's army with its latest underground base for fighter jets and more particularly the country's missile power in the face of the West's threats. That comprises threats coming from Israel, with the regime targeting several military sites in the city of Isfahan lately. While U.S.'s benefit lies in creating regional insecurity, as General Hajizadeh put it, there needs to be a military power in the region to deter such threats. Tehran believes that Washington is a root cause of almost all global conflicts, including the war in Ukraine. The Islamic Republic argues that the West Asia region sits on a security fault line, given the history of conflicts in the past four decades. Another factor that Tehran has always highlighted is the need to maintain the country's military might. It says if it fails to be strong, the enemy will bring the war inside Iran. That's why Iranian military commanders urge and advise Iranian armed forces to meet the security needs of the nation. Given all the threats posed by the U.S. and its allies, the Corps has always been aiming to render the American war machine ineffective and thus has managed to bring all the U.S.'s regional bases within the range of its defensive firepower. They have also turned Washington bases in the region into its weak spots, with the IRGC having the ability to strike U.S. outposts whenever the need arises.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Assalamu alaikum, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. We are here, alhamdulillah, with you again with another Quranic session. Inshallah, today with brothers Fawad, Haider, Hassan Nasrullah, Hussein Ruhullah, and Ali Nasir, we will work on Ayah 15 of Surah Ali Imran on page 51. So, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir, Salaamu Alaikum. And are you ready to start?
Yes.
Okay. So, brothers and sisters, we recommend you stay with us till the end of this session, inshallah. And in case you had any question, you can ask us on IRIB English Radio. parstoday.ir. So now we will first and foremost listen to the recitation of this ayah and then we will continue our class.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. قل أأنبئكم بخير من ذلكم للذين اتقوا عند ربهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها وأزواج مطهرة ورضوان من الله والله بصير بالعباد.
That was a nice recitation. Now I think everybody here wants to recite, yes?
Yes.
Okay, let's practice. Brothers and sisters, please have your Quran with you. Page 51, Ayah 15 of Surah Ali Imran. I will recite once. Brothers here will practice and repeat after me. Make sure you do the same. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
قل أأنبئكم بخير من ذلكم.
قل أأنبئكم بخير من ذلكم.
للذين اتقوا عند ربهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها
للذين اتقوا عند ربهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها
وأزواج مطهرة ورضوان من الله
خالدين فيها وأزواج مطهرة ورضوان من الله
والله بصير بالعباد
والله بصير بالعباد
أحسنتم ما شاء الله الله Almighty bless you inshallah Allah Almighty in this ayah says قل say أأنبئكم بخير من ذلكم shall I inform you of something better than that better than what in the previous ayah in ayah 14 Allah Almighty said زين للناس حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة والخيل المسومة والأنعام والحرث ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا. So Allah Almighty talks about what? About متاع الحياة الدنيا. The things that only and only you can have in this world, and you cannot have them with you in hereafter. Like the wife that you have, she will not help you in the hereafter. She has nothing to do with you in the day of judgment. Okay, she is dealing with her own business, right? The children that you have, the money that you have, yes, the lands that you have, the products, whatever you have, okay, whatever you have, they will not help you for sure. In case, yeah, you have done something good with them, like you donated charity, yes, you paid zakat, paid khums, yeah, of course they might give you some reward, yes, but totally, these things are for this world. Okay, and Allah Almighty said, "Wallahu indahu husnul ma'ab." There are a lot of people, okay, that they are loving these things. They love their. We don't say we should not love our family. We should love our family, but there is another type of love that we are completely. How do you say that? You can't even think of Allah Almighty. You can't even think of another things. Okay, so these are not okay. Yes, these are mata'ul hayat ad-dunya. And Allah Almighty says, قُلْ أَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْ ذَلْكُمْ Shall I inform you of something better than that? Better than mata'ul hayat ad-dunya? For what? Shall I inform you? Allah Almighty says, لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا For those who are God-fearing, for those who have taqwa, what is there? Better thing? عند ربهم جنات تجري عند ربهم جنات you'll have gardens you'll have a lot of gardens in the heaven okay which are eternal which are everlasting they are not just for some like for 3 months for 3 years for 10 years no forever okay the garden that you have in this world you will have this for example for 80 years for 50 years yes but the gardens in the heaven you will have them for everlasting. So, عند ربهم جنات. What type of jannat? This type of jannat. تجري من تحتها الأنهار. Okay, that there are like what? There are like rivers, like waterfalls. Okay, they have jannat. Okay, من تحتها الأنهار. Look, what do we say? Anhar, okay, there are not only Anhar, the river of water river, okay, waterfalls. We have the river like full of ani,
yeah.
Full of milk.
Qur'ani, Qur'ani, Qur'ani fi qalbi
دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
We had a translation of this ayah. Inshallah, I want you to go to the tafsir book. Inshallah, refer to the tafsir book for more explanation for the tafsir interpretation. Inshallah. Okay, Hassan, Hussein.
Yes.
So now we will move on with the important tajweed rules we'll mention, inshallah. The first one, قُلْ أَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ. The two hamza, yes? أَأُ.
Yes.
There is a waw actually, a waw, we have to say, yeah? But you say that the waw is just a base for hamza, a chair or a base for hamza. And you have to pronounce the hamza, not waw. Alif is also like there. Alif is just a base for hamza. Okay? So you have to pronounce the hamza.
Yes.
Not awu. A-u-nab. And it's a bit difficult to pronounce, yeah? Not for us, okay? For the non-Arabic speakers, like for those who even don't know Persian. Okay, for English speakers, maybe this will be a bit difficult. Hamza, Ayn, Ghain. Hamza might not be that much difficult, but it is sometimes, okay? Because they might get it wrong with Ayn. These are difficult, the differences. So, أَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ مِّن ذَٰلِكُمْ أَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ. There is a meme, there is a ba. If you listen to the recitation, they will recite this way. أَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ كُمْ. There is an ikhfa sound.
Yes.
كُمْ. Look, you don't hear the meme completely. It's hidden, yes? كُمْ. Right? There was one rule. If you have meme sakin plus ba,
it's ikhfa.
Ikhfa. If you have noon sakin plus ba,
iqlab.
Iqlab. So this is meme sakin plus ba, ikhfa. Hide the sound of meme. قُلْ أَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ. Ikhfa also has the nasal sound with it.
Yes.
Also for two counts. Got it? Prolong it for two counts. بِخَيْرٍ تَنْوِين plus meme. If you listen, they will read it this way. بِخَيْرٍ. Instead of rin, rim. What is this rule?
Idgham.
Merging. You merge and you produce a nasal sound also. بِخَيْرٍ مِّن ذَلِكُمْ مِّن. You don't hear the noon completely. إِخْفَى. You hide the sound of noon. مِّن ذَلِكُمْ. Right? Jim on the top. The baby Jim tells you, Ali Nasser, it is?
Ja'is.
Ja'is. To do what?
You can stop or continue.
You can stop or continue. That's it. لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Make sure that we have this word a lot, okay? اتَّقَوْا. اتَّقُوا. اتَّقَوْا means for those who are God-fearing. For those who perform taqwa, okay? Practice taqwa. اتَّقُوا means practice taqwa. You. It's an order, command. Okay? اتَّقُوا. اتَّقَوْا. اتَّقَوْا is past. اتَّقُوا is command. أمر. فعل الأمر. Okay? عند ربهم عند نون ساكن plus دال
إخفاء
hide the sound ربهم
heavier
تفخيم تفخيم الراء ما شاء الله ربهم جنات نون مشدد nasal sound تنوين plus تاء
إخفاء
جنات تجري تجري
قلقلة
قلقلة bounce the sound echo the sound تجري من حسن
إخفاء
hide the sound again من تحتها ها ألف مد it has plus أن الأنهار starts with همزة الوصل so you skip همزة الوصل plus skip the
مد
ألف مد just directly join the ها to
لام
تحتها الأنهار أنهار إظهار right You don't have to hide the sound of noon. أنهار خالدين فيها وأزواج مطهرة. جم إخفاء إدغام sorry. ورضوان إدغام من الله. Lam is pronounced heavily. والله بصير بالعباد. Right? والله بصير بالعباد. Okay?
Yes.
Allah
yes.
is pronounced heavily. بصيرٌ تنوين plus با.
إخلاق.
تنوين plus با or نون ساكن plus با. إخلاق. That's all. So, brothers and sisters, please practice well, inshallah, the tajweed rules. Time and again, listen to this session if you didn't, if you forgot to note some of the points. We mentioned the important tajweed rules. Inshallah, we hope you recite it the best way with tajweed rules, inshallah. And for the explanation of this ayah, I want you to refer to the tafsir book, books like Tafsir Namuna, Tafsir Al-Majma'ul Bayan, Tafsir Al-Mizan, and the rest of tafsir. Okay, inshallah, I want you to refer to learn more. Thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah. Don't forget to include us in your prayers in this holy month of Sha'ban. And inshallah, I hope you take advantages of this important, this valuable time, inshallah, timings. Inshallah. So, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir, if you have any questions.
No.
Thank you so much. Let's recommend our brothers and sisters to stay with IRB English Radio. Next session, inshallah, will be here at the same time. Have a nice time. See you. Thanks to IRIB English Radio, thanks to Xavier International School, and goodbye. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
Let's Recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sador Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.